Today, a quick tip. Maybe you've noticed that Google Chrome, when you open a new tab, displays your whole recent web history right out there on the screen. If you don't like that, I'm going to show you how to fix it.
Welcome to another episode of The Computer Tutor. Tips, tricks, and advice from a computer pro without all the tech talk. And now, here is your computer tutor, Scott Johnson.
Welcome back to the Computer Tutor Podcast. My name is Scott Johnson, and I do computer repair right here in the Tampa Bay area of Florida. I do just about anything computer related, and I've been doing this since 1999. So if I can help you in some way with your computer, give me a call at 727-254-9078 or email me at pctutor@gmail.com. Now, before I get into today's topic, I have to mention something. If you listen to a bunch of different podcasts, you may have already noticed it starting. The Podcast Awards are coming up. More specifically, the 9th Annual People's Podcast Awards. Podcasts are given these awards based on a variety of different categories, such as business podcast, comedy, health, and so on. In order for a podcast to win the award for its category, it first has to be nominated. Step one is nomination. Step two is voting. Nominations end on October 15. So today's October 14. Tomorrow is Tuesday, October 15. So if you're listening to this after October 15, then you can ignore this. You can only submit your nominations one time, and you do that at podcastawards.com. After the nominations, the voting begins. That starts on November the 1st, and you can vote every day for 15 days. Now, for me, my podcast is just over a year old, so I would love just to be nominated. So if you feel so inclined, please go over to podcastawards.com, scroll down to the technology category, and enter my podcast name, which of course is the Computer Tutor Podcast, and my website address, which is computertutorflorida.com. If my show does get nominated, I'll let you know so that you can vote. Now, what I won't do is constantly nag you for votes. The thing with this process is you can vote once every single day. So some podcasters send out emails every day to remind you to vote, and they talk about it nonstop on their show. And honestly, it gets really old after a while, to me anyway. I'm not going to do that. Today, I'm asking you for your nomination, and if I got nominated, I'll ask you for your vote. Other than that, nothing else. Now, on to the topic for today's show. And today's computer tip will probably be a little shorter than usual because it's just a simple solution to a simple problem. We're talking about Google Chrome. Chrome is the web browser that's put out by Google, and it's the one I use most often. I also use Firefox, and I even use Internet Explorer when I need to, but usually it's Chrome. Not too long ago, Google made a change to the Chrome browser. They changed the way a new tab works. You know about tabs because all web browsers use tabbed browsing now. Let's say you just have one tab open to a particular web page. Immediately to the right of that tab is another tab which is much smaller. When you click that smaller one, that means you're opening a new tab. And you can configure that new tab to open by default to whatever you want. It can open to a certain website, or it can just open to a blank page, in which case there would be no content on that tab. For me, I usually have it set to just open to a blank tab, and then from there I can go to the website that I want to see. And that's how it was for a long time until Google made this change recently. They changed what the new tab page looks like. Now, instead of just a blank page, you'll see the Google search bar. Nothing particularly bad about that. Might even be useful. But right under that search bar are several icons, and each one represents your recent website browsing history. So you might see the icons there for YouTube, MSN.com, Gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter. Whatever websites you visited most recently are going to be displayed in several thumbnail images right under the Google search bar. Now, a lot of people have been really upset about this, and they've complained to Google, but it remains there. And why would people not like this? Well, how about this? Let's say you're at work and your boss comes over to your desk and says, "Hey, Scott, take a look at this website for a second." You open a new tab to type in the website URL while your boss is standing there looking over your shoulder. But before you can get to the new website, there's the list of all the sites you've been visiting during work. YouTube, Facebook, Reddit. And now you have some explaining to do. Or maybe you're on your home computer and you get an email from someone that had a link and you clicked on it and it took you to an adult dating website. Now, you're happily married, so you immediately clicked out of it and didn't think anything more about it, other than maybe you shouldn't click on links in emails. But later that evening, your wife gets on the computer to check something. She opens a new tab, and there's that adult website listed in your web history from a few hours ago. More explaining coming up. There are certainly lots of other situations where you would not necessarily want other people to be able to see your web browsing history just by glancing at your screen. Fortunately for you, you listen to the Computer Tutor podcast, so you're going to know how to fix that right now. First, open up Google Chrome and up in the address bar, type Chrome:flags and hit enter on the keyboard. This is going to open up a page of stuff on the screen that will look like a bunch of technical gobbledygook, and that's okay because you don't need to know anything about any of that stuff anyway, but don't change any of it. Now hit Control F like in Find. That's going to create a little search box right up there in the top right corner. Whatever you type into that box, Chrome is going to search for that on the page that's being displayed. Now in that search box, you want to type two words. Those two words are Enable Instant. When you've typed those two words, you'll see right in the middle of the web page, there's an entry with those two words highlighted, Enable Instant. There's more to it than that, but that's what you're looking for. Right under those highlighted words will be a drop-down menu, and in that menu, you just need to choose the option that says Disabled. Then just close the tab. Now, if you want to test it, close Chrome, wait a few seconds, and open it again. Now, open a new tab. No more web history being displayed. I believe all you're going to see are a few links like to Gmail, the Google Store, generic stuff like that that has nothing to do with your website history. You know, maybe someday Google's going to listen to the complaints of Chrome users and make that the default. But until that happens, yours will display the way you want it to. And if you want to see these instructions in writing, you can see them over at my website, computertutorflorida.com/061. Now, I wanted to follow up a bit on the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, I told you about the CryptoLocker virus that gets on your computer, encrypts your files, and then demands a payment of $300 for you to get your files back. My recommendation to protect against this is a regular file-by-file backup to an external drive, in addition to the online automated backup that I've already been recommending for a long time. Then, last week, I reviewed the program that I use for that local backup. It's a great little program called Second Copy. I know some of you have already set that up, and I really like it. It's working great. However, there are still a couple of questions that I'm getting on a regular basis, so I wanted to answer these very clearly so there's no confusion. The first question that people have been asking me is, do we still need to do an online backup? And the answer to that is yes. My recommendation is that you have an online automated backup in place. I've set this up for my own computers and for many of my clients. In addition to that, you need a local backup that goes to an external drive. So again, in my opinion, you need both of these backups in order to make sure your files are safe. And the second question I'm getting from all over the country, if you go to Google and just do a search on the word CryptoLocker, you're going to see my smiling face right there in the search results because my website comes up at or near the top of the search results because of that blog post that I did on that subject. So I'm getting like 1,500 to 2,000 people a day visiting my site because of that. So people all over the place are getting this virus, then they go to Google and do a Google search for it, and they end up calling me. And the question they're asking is this: how do I get rid of the CryptoLocker virus? Now, I'm going to answer that question in two parts. The first answer I would give is this. you may not want to get rid of it immediately. This is very important to understand. Removing the virus does not decrypt your files. I'll say that once again. Removing the virus does not decrypt those files. If the virus has encrypted your files and you don't have any backup, and you absolutely need to get access to those files again, you might find that your only option is to pay the $300 and trust that the files will actually get decrypted. That has happened in many cases, although you'd obviously have to pay knowing that it might not work. If you get rid of the virus first, then you have no way of confirming that you've paid, and so you'll definitely not have any chance of getting your files back. The second part of the answer is this. If you don't have any need to get those files decrypted, you can use Malwarebytes to find and remove the virus. Malwarebytes detects the virus as the file name trojan.ransom, which it can then remove. You can get Malwarebytes at malwarebytes.org. There is a free version, but as you've heard me say in the past, I strongly recommend getting the paid version. It's only $25, and it's only a one-time charge. It's not an annual subscription. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode, but don't worry, I'll be back here next Monday morning with another computer tip. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Computer Tutor Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to contact me with a question, a comment, or a suggestion for a future topic, you're welcome to do so at my website, computertutorflorida.com. And while you're there, sign up for my free Monday morning email newsletter. If you have a computer problem, give me a call at 727-254-9078. In many cases, I can take care of a problem remotely, so it doesn't matter if you're here in Florida, up in Maine, or way out in California. I'd love to help. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week. God bless.